me pones un ejemplo. Entonces, si tú no quieres hablar conmigo, dímelo para yo no llamarte ni molestarte, porque nada más quedaba tú.
Real talk. Real people. Real stories. The Keys Just Podcast. Yeah! Welcome, everyone, to another Keys Just Podcast. I'm your host and founder of the Keys Just a Social Worker Movement with another amazing show for you today. But before we get started, I want to remind everyone that this platform was built because way too often as people, we were overlooked or put in boxes. But this is no longer our plight, and our fight is for anyone and everyone who feels a need to be understood. We are strong as individuals, but unstoppable when we unite. You know, when I think of the word accomplish, I think about someone who has achieved at a high level, who has notable success, or has demonstrated an expertise that speaks to this competence and mastery. Meet Jennifer Lebedev, a distinguished online English teacher and YouTube influencer. Her YouTube channel, Learning with Jennifer, has a massive following of 1.8 million subscribers and counting. With her channel, Jennifer engages with a global audience that attracts students from around the world. Jennifer's lessons blend traditional teaching methods that cover everything from vocabulary, grammar, and real-life conversations. Jennifer is also an accomplished author. Her book, Being a YouTuber, One Creator's Bumpy Road to 1 Million Subscribers. It delves into her personal experience and challenges in growing her channel as a content creator. Today, let's learn with Jennifer about her vision around personal growth and community building. Her dedication to teaching has cemented her status as a leader in the field of ESL education and beyond. Jennifer, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much for having me, Jules. Thank you so much for the invitation. I'm delighted to join you.
Well, the pleasure is ours. Take us off. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us what you're currently working on.
Sure. Well, I am a teacher. That's short and simple, but I'm a former classroom teacher. My life has been one wonderful windy path. Sometimes I question how wonderful or how confusing it's been, but it's been windy. I originally thought I was going to teach Russian as a foreign language, and I got certified after college to teach. But then I had an adventure in the cruise lines. Then I went to grad school, did get my master's degree in Russian studies. That took me over to Russia. And while I was there, I switched to teaching English as a foreign language. So several years later, when I came back, I got recertified in ESL and discovered that was the path I really wanted to follow, teaching English as a second language. I continued on in the classroom, and then I had a bridge built. I didn't necessarily know I was looking for it, but when it appeared, I wanted to cross it. I got offered the chance to contribute to a textbook series, and that took me out of the classroom for a short time. And Jules, I always wanted to be two things, a teacher and a mom. So by the time I finished the book, I had two children, and I did not know, I wanted to teach, but I did not know if I really could take that path again in the classroom, full-time teaching, a commute, and it didn't make perfect sense to me. It didn't feel right. I had a wonderful employer who tried to give me amazing accommodations to help me make it work. But I just knew inside that I didn't want to do full-time teaching, do a commute. I wanted to be more present in my children's lives. And at that time, YouTube was just starting off. I'm taking you back to like 2007. I don't know who was watching YouTube in 2007, but there were people watching, thank goodness, because I began to experiment. I'm a teacher and I love to teach. And I'll tell you, you can get me talking about this forever. I love to teach. And when you love something, you'll do it for free. And I did. I was just posting videos because I wanted to teach and I needed an outlet. I needed people to teach. And I was just posting videos to see what the response would be. And thankfully, it was very positive. Not many people were doing this. And people were eager to learn English on this new platform. And I wasn't a great video maker. I didn't know what I was doing quite in front of the camera. I had to learn how to transfer all those skills. But I promised people that if you stick with me, I know how to teach, but I will learn how to make better videos for you. And here I am about 15, 17 years later, and I am an online English teacher now.
Boom. And boy, have you arrived. I was about to ask you about that transition because help us understand, you're in a classroom setting and now you're speaking to the world. How difficult is that to process and to plan?
I think sometimes I've heard it from other teachers too. We tend to forget, you know, you're doing this in your home, in a living room, in a bedroom, who knows what. I did it while the kids were resting or sleeping. You just took at the camera and you start doing what you do. You think about the topics that people need to learn, and your desire to help and teach overcomes any fear, I think. You know what you want to offer. You know what you want to deliver. You just have to get over that initial awkwardness of if you've not been used to being in front of a camera. I was still at that point not comfortable hearing my voice. And believe me now, about 17 years later, I've heard my voice so much that I'm okay with it. But you have to get over that and remember what you're doing and why you're doing it. But it is a transition. You know, teaching does have a performance element. Usually it's live. You stand in front of people and you have to figure out where do you get that sense of motivation from if you're all by yourself and there's a camera. And one of the tricks I've done is when I'm speaking to the camera, I think about who I'm talking to. I imagine a student or a group of students, and that makes me feel comfortable because, you know, certain things can make me feel very nervous, but get me in front of a classroom, tell me that people need a lesson, and I'm ready, you know, because it's something that you know you can do. When you know you can do it and you love doing it, it's easy to say, okay, 3, 2, 1, shoot, let's go. Of course, I won't tell you how many times I have to do retakes.
You know what? I had the pleasure to browse and see some of your lessons. Just amazing. And I know that you and I spoke and we chatted prior to this. I think what drew me most about you was your ability to be a trendsetter. And I think you shared with us early on your experience to pioneer this movement. And some of that really takes time to master. And you don't really know if you're doing that great until it really starts happening. Can you share with us a little bit, how did you know, okay, this is starting to work? Like, let's not think about the followers. Let's just think about how you felt during the process and said, wait, Jennifer, you're on to something here.
It's about the response. I told you, I put some videos up there just to see would people watch it? Would they like it? Would they find it useful? And from the beginning, the response was immediately positive and people wanted more. They wanted the connection. This was new. You know, having access to a teacher, being able to ask questions immediately and get responses, it was amazing. And I think just that alone was my encouragement to keep trying. And I am, if there's any title I want to claim in my field, it's like queen of experiments. And I'll tell you that the majority of my experiments have failed. Some enough have worked to carry me forward, but I love experimenting. I'm a creative person. And I see what works and what people respond to. And to this day, I had a wonderful compliment from a colleague. He called me a blueprint. And I'll tell you why I like it is because, you know, I've tried so many different formats. And I think people sometimes look at it, other, you know, teachers can say like, oh, that's interesting. Or, oh, no, that didn't work, did it? So it's like through me, people learned some good practices and don't do practices. When I've experimented with camera angles and whatnot, I'm not afraid to experiment. I'm not afraid to take big risks and little risks. And you just have to accept that. I think I'm a teacher and I'm a learner in so many respects. And I know that learning comes with mistakes and struggles and falls. And that's just part of the learning process.
Well, this platform is really built on the growth mindset. And we've talked at length about these kind of things. It's important for us to understand that when we go out here to live out our dreams, when we have an opportunity to think about what success really is, many a times we get caught in between the draw of the money, the accolades, but little do we know that a lot of the success is when we enjoy or love what we are doing. So I think that that's a critical, you know, piece to this, that as we begin to explore and take risk, am I still enjoying it? Am I still having fun of this process? And I think that that to me is what really sticks out when I think about this process. Now, I know that you taught in a traditional classroom, and now that you're a hit sensation here online, would you ever consider doing both, like a hybrid, or going back to the classroom, or that's a no for you?
No, I you know, for right now, it makes the most sense. Really, sometimes necessity pushes you in a certain way, and I felt it was necessary for me to make my children central, and I had the opportunity to do so. And I did it by being an online teacher where I had lots of flexibility. And even now, I still need that flexibility. So going to a classroom, yes, but again, my children are much older now. They've grown up along with my YouTube channel. But I do. I would love to go back into the classroom at some point. A lot of English teachers travel, and I thought I was going to do more of that. And then I ended up staying several years in Russia instead of, you know, I thought I'd make it to Japan and here and there. But I think I could see myself doing that as I get even older and my kids, you know, become more independent of me, then perhaps I could see myself going into the classroom, traveling. And that's very exciting. I'd like to see some other countries and combine that with my work. So perhaps, yes, in the future, I would do that.
Well, lovely, because I wanted to practice some of my Ukraine right now.
Like Ukrainian.
Привет and пока. These are the words I've learned. But nevertheless, I know that for you, your success, again, is built on the love and joy. But it wasn't always glory. There had to be moments that were very challenging and even downright depressive when you're there saying, I got to build from home. Can you walk us through some of that, friend?
Well, even just the learning process took time. I wasn't ready to invest in anything immediately. So Jules, I remember filming, this is 2007, 2008, people weren't using smartphones to film. We had digital cameras back then. So I had a digital camera that snapped photos, and it just so happened to have a video feature and with a built-in mic, which meant I would set it, I didn't have a tripod. I told you, did not invest in anything yet. I felt like, how could I invest if I'm not even earning anything? I needed time. I was balancing the digital camera on bookshelves and cereal boxes and stacks of books. I didn't know much about lighting. I had to learn about that. I would just, you know, turn on all the lights, get the halogen lights that contractors use to paint walls and such. Little by little, I started to learn. So that was a process. That's one thing to take away, is that you don't have to have all the answers and all the know-how to start. Just start, and you will learn as you go along. You don't have to have all those skills from day one. If you do, great, but don't let that stop you thinking, I'm not ready yet. When will you be ready? Just try. If you teach from the heart, whatever it is, I'm teaching, whatever you're doing, you do it from the heart, you do it with authenticity. Put in the effort and something good will come out of it to some degree. So that's one thing. I will tell you that in the early days of YouTube, it was quite different back then. One difference was they didn't have all the filters in place to protect creators or just to keep it a nice environment. And so I wrote about this in my book. There was a time when it was quite hard, because the harsh comments, the offensive comments, they came through, and they came through loud and clear. Mm-hmm. And there was a time where it was quite awful, when I just broke down crying. And my cousins, who are not online even to this day, couldn't quite understand what I was dealing with. But they wondered, like, why are you doing this then? And I, you know, cried and thought about it, and then just came to the conclusion that because I believe in what I'm doing, because there are more people who like and value and appreciate what I'm doing than those who are there trying to criticize. And I remember a comment from a supporter saying, Jennifer, just remember, it always takes more time to build than to tear down. So don't let them tear you down. It was something to that effect. And it was that kind of comment that gave me strength. I've always found strength from viewers and supporters. So
thank you so much for letting us in. And to that degree, Yes, I was going to ask about the comments because I think that that is a big part of how a content creator lives or not survive. There's a lot to be said about the amount of people who dedicate their time to make it difficult for someone just because they know you have something that's original, just because you have something that's beautiful. And they can't find anything to say, how in the world did this person create this? And little did you know, and some of the images that you have put up with mountains, and then you put the grammar to match, and then you put the houses. Love it, because I can tell you as a Latino entering this country, not myself, but my family members, people that I know who have to enter this country in under difficult circumstances, learning the language and dominating it really takes 6, 7 years. And it's very difficult for them to master. And still beyond, you can hear in their words, I'm doing this because I want a better job. I'm doing this to help my family. I'm doing this because I want to feel that I'm part of this country. There's so much connection that happens with this sense of belonging. So, of those comments, when you took the positive one and made it your own and said, yeah, this is the reason why I am doing this, we applaud you because many times it is very difficult. When you began to understand that this was a task, answering comments now, how long did that take you? And how fair are you to your people who are there day to day with you?
I am a teacher first. I've said this. I'm trying to find a better way to wear my hat of YouTuber entrepreneur at this stage. But I first and foremost put on the hat of teacher. That's who I am. And I believe that teachers should be accessible. I believe that teaching is a two-way process. It shouldn't be just me spouting out information to be received. There should be interaction. And again, back in the day, we didn't have all the features in place. And there was little me holding up a card because I didn't even know how to do text callouts at that point, saying, you can write to me and give a question. And I put this little Gmail address that I came up with, and they started trickling in. And then as the year number two came in, they were getting bigger. I'm like, whoa, wait a second. Like,
Well,
I guess, like, how many emails and I'm getting a day? I can't quite handle this. And still doing it for free, by the way.
no.
So I was thinking, okay, we need to do something else. So along the way, I started experimenting different ways. By year two or three, that's when I started offering lessons on Skype. And that's when I also discovered the power of what I was doing. I went on without a plan. Most people who come on YouTube today have a game plan. I had no game plan. But I didn't know that YouTube would eventually be a place where they would monetize the content. But by year two, I wanted to teach through Skype, and I posted a quick little announcement. Within 24 hours, I had enough students to start teaching. So that was the beauty of having delivered content over the past year or so, 1 to 2 years. People knew what I was able to offer, so that when I asked if anyone was interested in paid instruction, it was there. But then at that time, I also thought, okay, what else can I do? So I had experimented on my website. Yes, I had help building a website because I didn't know how to do that. But how did I get that? Connections. YouTube has been beautiful bringing me into contact with different people. And somehow the universe has provided certain resources to me through connections. I had the website in place, and I built in this community sort of discussion board, and tried to get people to go there, because YouTube back in the day had very limiting features. Comments were limited to a certain number of character. You couldn't include URLs, but on my community board you could. But I had it was a difficult matter trying to convince people to go off YouTube to this discussion board to receive more support from me, because they wanted to stay on YouTube. So eventually I had to scratch that idea. That's just one illustration again of an experiment that didn't work, but it was my attempt. I was experimenting different ways of how can I meet their needs beyond the videos, and also how could I do it in a way and start balancing this. And okay, there's a certain amount I can do for free, everyone, but at this point I also, if you want me to sustain this, I need to think about how to monetize some of my services so that this really will be a long-term part of my career.
Man, listen, you said Skype. There's a lot of people out there. This was before
I
Zoom,
remember.
ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Before Zoom, Skype was alive. You know, there is so much to unpack in what you said. And once again, just listening to you, I'm just more drawn to you, to your perseverance, to your amount of resilience that now you're at a calm state. But I can tell that
Yeah.
before you get to the performance, there's so much that you have to plan for. And looking at this from the comment side, again, sometimes there are people that you touch in such a way that you feel like, man, I'm glad I did this today
Yes.
because this person made me feel that, yes, I had connected with them. Is it sometimes that you, even though that you have a real life after you shut the lights out and there's no more recording, lesson is over, and you're contemplating about a student, about a question that a student may have had, does that ponder just as the teacher, like, man, I wish I would have got back? Are there times for you like that?
Do I think about my students or my viewers and questions outside of recording and such? Of course. It's those thoughts pop in at different times. You could be driving, you could be walking, you could be showering. Ideas come to you, concerns occupy your thoughts. And it could be viewers, it could be at this point private students. But you find that balance. It's something that I've also had to work on. When you're a teacher and you're any profession of service, you have to start figuring out how much mental mind space do you devote to your work and when do you pull back because you need to recharge. And that's been a big lesson for me of there's lots of things that we can love, whether it's teaching or chocolate, but you can't do it 100% of the time. You need to recharge. And that's something that I've been working on over the past couple of years, especially to have better balance in my life. But my students are my motivation. My students are my inspiration. And I've said that each one of us is capable of inspiring and being inspired, each one of us. And you look at a YouTuber, whatever, how many subscribers, views, whatever they have. Okay, so maybe they've been in a position to inspire, but guess what? Where they got the inspiration from, it's often from the following in the audience. And why we do what we do is for you, viewers. For me, it's the learners. And I just want to go back to what you said, Jules. I mean, who inspires me the most? It's these language learners. And partly what I do, this ties into my 8 years of being a cheerleader back in elementary school and high school. I still feel that's part of who I am because I cheer and support my learners. A lot of the time, it's confidence that they need. They're so amazing. And sometimes situations make them forget that. And especially if they're here in the US or another English-speaking country, they need to be reminded of just how amazing they are each and every day. And I can say I've only done it for like about 5 years when I was in Russia. I traveled a little bit, but there's a difference between being a tourist and living in another country. When you have to wake up, walk out that door, and it's not your language, it's not your culture, that's an amazing amount of pressure. And proficiency lowers that pressure a bit as your confidence begins to grow. And not all native speakers do speak another language, especially here in the US. In other countries, they're fortunate that there's a better emphasis on foreign language instruction, another conversation to have. But I just want to remind the non-native speakers that I understand those challenges. You are amazing. And if you feel any criticism or judgment from people, they don't know the challenges that you are rising to every day. You are amazing. If you drop them from in your hometown for a day or for an hour, they would be lost. So if you be proud of what you're able to do each and every day, just keep learning and it will get easier.
Well, thank you for inspiring us, Jennifer. Amazing in the work, but also shout out to your husband and your children as well for letting you have the space to be able to maneuver all these hats that you have to wear, giving you your planning time, giving you your thinking space so that you can figure this out. I know that there's so much to keep talking about this topic, but there's other areas that I wanted to surface a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about your book. Being a YouTuber, one creator's bumpy road to 1 million subscribers. What was that journey like for you? And when did you know that you were ready to write a book?
I didn't have it in the plan. Again, my life is one windy road. And this was written back in 2022, 2 years ago. And up till then, I always was very secretive about my age. And then I decided, you know what? I need to write about this. I have a story to tell, and it is tied into my age. So I've had to grow more comfortable, not necessarily comfortable, but more comfortable admitting that I hit my 50th birthday at that time. So much was happening. And it was my then husband. He was a good supporter of my work, by the way. I'm very appreciative of the support that he did provide. We've since divorced, and that's been another journey. I've gone through a sale of a house, purchase of a house, renovation of a house, sending my son off to college. There's been so much going on. And in the midst of this, I turned 50, and then my YouTube channel hit 1 million. And it was like so much was going on, but the renovation was crazy. It was like a metaphor of my life that everything was being renovated. We were like living with our house turned inside out with plastic all over the place. And I'm thinking, seriously, when the dust settles, will everything be okay? Literally and figuratively. And it was a lot to go through. And at that point, of course, I was celebrating. It was very exciting. There was a time where I thought I'd never hit 1 million. I thought only like really cool people and makeup artists and gamers hit 1 million. And so I didn't know I was going to hit 1 million. And then when I started to see, oh, I think it's going to happen, it was a very exciting time. And I did celebrate it with my viewers, because who else would I celebrate it with? And of course, my kids were supportive too. But so much transition was happening, and I was happy, and yet I wasn't fully happy. And I also knew I wasn't fully healthy physically, mentally. Mm-hmm. And I love to write. I always have. I also blog for teachers, but have been doing that almost just as long for as YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I decided to write. I needed to pull back. I scaled things back a little bit in August of 2022 and decided to write, just a book, 3 weeks or so, and just put it down. And I purposely did that. It's difficult because I do believe in quality writing. Usually, you know, I teach students about revisions and you really polish it. So I can say that it's not a masterpiece, but I needed it to be a snapshot of my life, of what I was thinking, what I was feeling, and what was happening. I was doing this in a public way because I feel that my story is unique enough to be interesting, but familiar enough that I hope it resonates with a lot of other people who question about where I am, what am I doing, am I successful, what is happiness, all of those questions that seem to become stronger as we age, and especially if you hit a milestone birthday like 50. I needed to write that book and have that snapshot for myself too, so that I could then step back and say, okay, so let's evaluate this. You know, where am I? Is it okay? What do you like? What don't you like? What do you need to change? And even now, like 2 years later, I look at it and say, okay, yeah, I still believe in those things. Like, oh my gosh, is that what you thought, Jennifer? Like, what were you thinking? And now I say, oh, poor you. Like, with sympathy. And I think that's also important, guys, is just to look back at yourself. I've gone through such a journey. My own students have been my teachers too, let me tell you. For some reason, I think I understand it. You know, what you put out is kind of what you get. If you put out some kindness, you're likely to get kindness. If you put out a lot of hate and anger, you're not going to see much kindness coming your way. And I generally try to be a positive person. And thankfully, that means that a lot of positive people have come to me to learn English. And I learn from these people because, you know, when I ask them to write or talk about things, the wisdom that they share from their life experiences has helped me. And I don't know if I'm digressing, but I wanted to tell you, Jules, that there was a time where really I felt like everything was breaking down, like especially within my body, just all kinds of problems from head to toe. I had this echo in my ear that I wrote about in my book. It's awful. My back was hurting. My head was hurting. I didn't understand that my body was sending these messages like, hello, something's wrong, about how I was living my life. And I understand now that I should have listened more closely to what my own self was trying to tell me. And I was like, no, I'm just going to keep going forward with what I do. And those messages just kept piling up. And I think the universe got very creative because it decided to use my students as teachers. And little by little, they were telling me or writing to me through assignments things that I needed to hear about healthy lifestyle, sleep, nutrition, relationships, parenting. Like, and I was listening because I care for my students. I respect them. In fact, I cared more and gave more to what they were saying and was not listening to the messages coming directly from my body. So finally, I understood that I need to make some lifestyle changes. I need to get some better habits to care for myself so that I can make even better quality contributions and have better relationships. And so it's been wonderful that I'm in this profession where I can help. But I want to say thank you to all students and not just my private students, but sometimes it's during live streams. I was going live with certain students and they would share parts of their lives that would totally inspire me. And they'd talk about how family traditions or something. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so sweet. That's so nice. Mm-hmm. Like, I want something like that. And I also went through a part then after writing this book. The book was a catalyst really for the self-growth, saying you need to change some things. What kind of life do you want to live? What is success? Do you have it? Define it concretely. What do you want it to be? And what is happiness, Jennifer? So I worked through different courses to say, like, what is my vision of happiness? Who do I want to be? How do I want to live? And now it's so much clearer in my mind so that I can make conscious choices every day that brings me closer in alignment with that lifestyle, with that vision, because I know that person is me already. I just have to keep dedicating my choices to that vision so that, you know?
in listening to you, and thank you for sharing and letting us in such a beautiful journey, such a beautiful life, Jennifer. You know, I taught English as a second language to some level one learners, and that was part of the best years of my life. I still am connected, and now after speaking to you, I'm going to make sure that I send a text out to them today to remind them that I'm thinking of them. It's amazing what students can do, especially adult students. Mm-hmm. There's a connection that really happens that is authentic, that they come from a place of eagerness to learn, but open to share. And that sharing comes with so much truth. It comes with so much that's layered with love and empathy. And also, I wanted to share, thank God that I'm not the only person that talks to myself. So I can hear you all day long. Jennifer, how come I did this? Jennifer, so thank you. Because now there's more of us out here that do talk to ourselves. And those people that think out loud, please continue to do so. The greatest ideas do happen that way. There is so much to talk about, but let's go into inside of your book. What do you want our listeners to kind of capture from your book when they get a chance to read it? Aside from your journey, what is it that you want them to learn? And I plan to have a link on my website as well to your book on the He's Just website. Tell us a little bit about what you want our learners to kind of learn about you or their own journeys within your book.
I hope they get more than just one lesson out of it, but there's a couple lessons that's for everyone, not just a YouTuber, not just a content creator. One of them is it shouldn't be a popularity contest, whether you're online or not. And I have a chapter called Finding Your Inner Rockstar. And that's important because you don't have to be liked by the world. You don't have to be liked by everybody. That's not what it's about. It's about offering things and offering from yourself, and knowing that it will resonate with some, it will help some, it's not going to resonate with everybody, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, wouldn't you rather have a profound impact on one person's life than 1,000 shallow likes or something? It doesn't matter. And that's why I've said it is, of course, numbers are important. You can't escape the analytics and statistics and all that. And yes, I celebrated the 1 million milestone, but that's not what it's about. It can't be defined just by the numbers alone. That's why I say define success on your own terms. What does it mean to you? For me, it's meaningful contributions, meaningful connections, and meaningful experiences. If I were only successful professionally, but didn't have great relationships with my kids or my siblings. What kind of life is that? If I had success and no one to share it with, that's not fulfilling. I love being able to share it with the people that I love. And if I had tons of money but weren't healthy, again, it's like, so for me, success has to be in this larger context. And by the way, I'll shatter that myth that not just because you have a million subscribers does not mean that you have $1 million. I do not. Shatter that myth here and now, guys. It cannot be about the money. Would I like to earn more? Yes, I won't. Of course, we all have these money concerns of, like, you know, paying for college and whatnot, but that can't be your motivation. And this ties into the second part of, like, defining success. Lessons come from all over the place. And sometimes you don't even understand that you just had a lesson. It just comes later to you. And I wrote about this, and I don't know if people will, if this will stick in your mind, but I call it now the pizza delivery moment. And this goes back to a time when, as a young adult, at home still, and my dad, who was a physician, was home, and we ordered pizza because, you know, every so often we'd order pizza. And doorbell rang. He went to the door to answer it, and this lady was delivering our pizza. And in a split second, she recognized him. I was up in my room with the door open, and she said, like, "Dr. Ratio, you don't remember me." He was the physician on call when she was brought into the ER with heavy bleeding, and he was the one who was called to attend her. And she credited him with saving her life. And she was so emotional. And so, like, I still get teary-eyed because I could sense her emotion that she had this amazing chance to thank him because she couldn't at that time. And I just sat there listening. And then my dad, he thanked her, he was very gracious, took the pizza. They said goodbye. And that was that. And he didn't comment on it. We just had our pizza. No one said anything. And it's only later when it hit me, I'm like, oh my God, like, you know, that's amazing. I'm so proud of my dad. And I was like, I knew from other comments, because he was sort of like a big fish in a little pond. He worked in a regional hospital, but in a little community, he meant a lot to the patients that he served. And I'd heard when people said, "Oh, you're Dr. Ratio's daughter, you know, he's so wonderful." And I'd hear all these things like, "Yes, yes, thank you, whatever," when you're a kid growing up. But I was aware of being, you know, a doctor's daughter. But at that time, when I heard that woman thank him, I realized what he was capable of doing. And even if it was only just that one life that he touched, isn't that already amazing that you could help that one person? But I know that he also had brought life into the world. So it's just, I wanted to do something like that. I wanted to be able to offer a service that would be so profound that someone one day would want to thank me from their heart. And I thought, could I be capable of doing that? Could I touch people's lives in such a way that really had meaning? And I wrote about this too. And there's times, you know, I think, again, the universe works in strange ways. You know, thank the Lord for that. It's just when we need a certain reminder, a ray of hope, it usually comes. You just have to be open to it. And it was another time where things were really rough emotionally. And as a mom, I appreciate you, all you moms out there. Happy belated moms, Mother's Day. Dads too. When things get rough and you just have to keep going, there's a household to run, there's dinner to make, there's kids to get to school, and you don't have a choice but to keep going. But maybe other things are going on in your life and you're just ready to, you have broken down. You step into the bathroom and cry, then you dry your eyes, you come out and you go. That's what you do. And you keep up the YouTube, you keep up everything else. But I was, felt like the world was falling apart inside. I was just finding my optimism to keep the shell together and keep everything running. And then one day in my inbox came a message from a viewer who had been watching my videos for a while, and he had just gotten a new job and he was living abroad. He said, living his dream. It was the job he had wanted. And he wanted to thank me for helping him with his fluency in English. And he wrote so beautifully. I was so proud of him. And I just was crying, because I was so happy for him. But it was the reminder that I needed that it doesn't matter how many subscribers, how many the watch time, the followers, as long as there's a handful of people that I have helped and touched in a profound way, that's good enough for me. So I don't care about, I'm happy to have my the play buttons on the wall over there. They're not behind me because that's not the most important thing to me, but they're there. Yeah. I don't care if I get another play button in my career or not. I've gotten what I want. I hope to have more of those experiences, but I also say don't count them. So if you've had your pizza delivery moment, be thankful that you have had the opportunity to connect with someone and impact their life in such a wonderful way. And if you've had a few of those pizza delivery moments, wonderful. Don't count them, just be grateful for them. And that's it. That's like, what is success to you? For me, it's those pizza delivery moments to know that I have meant something to somebody, that my work has been valued by somebody. I'm not going to count how many. That's not important.
And listen, you have touched the world. But first, let's start just by saying, I see where some of your greatness comes from, just from listening to your story about your dad. A man who probably was just carrying around with his own business every day, saving lives, helping the world be a better place. And somehow, some way, he was just interested in having a slice of pizza with you and really didn't recall so much about the moment, because I think that when you're enmeshed into this work, you begin to focus on your greatness, not to the essence of what you're going to get back, but how you're going to improve someone. And listening to your story of having an inbox message, simple as that, saying, because of you, I'm living my dream. What more can you want? You can press play a million times on different times, but that's one that pauses. And you have to look back and say, wow, I did not start this thinking that this would happen, but man, am I really happy that this has taken place. So shout out to you and students who really remember that you have made a difference for them. Now that we're thinking about the book, and I'm thinking about what were some of the challenges that you had as you were putting the book together? Because again, it sounded like you weren't very planned about doing it. It just started happening. You knew you had something, but what were some of those challenges?
I knew that, well, everybody has a story inside of them. It's just a question of how you want to tell your story. I love to write, so I decided to write. I think the big challenge is that, you know, that tendency towards perfection, and I've seen the dangers of that. And this was a test for me. Could I write something and not over perfect it? Like, oh no, I can't, I have to revise it for like 6 months, but maybe put and add more to it. Of course I could polish it. I could add more stories to it. There's always improvements to be made. But like, as I said, I wanted to take a snapshot. So the hardest challenge for me was just to do it, revise a little. I did get an editor. I had a colleague. I hired my colleague to edit because you cannot fully proofread yourself. Let me tell you that as an English teacher, it's always helpful to have someone else proofread when it really matters. Get someone else to proofread. I had to trust that it would be good enough, that there would be enough authenticity, enough of a message that the packaging didn't have to be perfect to resonate with someone. And so that's like YouTube and putting the videos out there. Is every single video perfect? No. And it's okay. You catch a typo. There's something with editing. You don't need perfection. You need authenticity. You need quality. Quality doesn't mean perfection. It just means, you know, you're putting your best effort into it. That was hard. And then admitting when I need help. I think that's been the big one, because I have often said, oh, I'm a one-woman show. And I've had some coaches say, Jennifer, you know, you can ask for help when you need it. And so that's been a lesson for me too, of reaching out more for help with certain things. And I've been better about that lately. And this was one of them, when I thought, okay, I can figure this out. I tried to format it myself and get it ready for Amazon. And then I thought, there's a place called Fiverr. There are specialists, you know, who know how to format this. I could devote my time to something else, like maybe, because I did keep up with some private lessons. Maybe I would better do that or spend time with my kids. This person on Fiverr would be grateful for my business, and they would help me format it. And that's what I did. So I had a colleague edit. I had someone on Fiverr help me format it, because there are very specific details, specifications for getting it ready for publication on Amazon.
You know, the one thing that I enjoyed about your answer is that you reference that even though you had the courage to do this, I think the biggest side of courage that I saw from you is your willingness to ask for help. There are many times that we believe as creators that we are in the midst of potentially giving away an idea. They won't know what I really want. I'm scared to let someone touch this. Do you understand that I want it to come from this side and not that side? It's really delicate, but I am seeing and listening to you, understanding that there is so much behind the greatness that just doesn't happen. It's your total evolvement, that you've evolved to become the person that you are, but you're still willing to learn. You're still willing to ask questions. And I think that that's what I want my listeners to think about. Never set yourself up for a goal and say that that's the end result. There is so much within the process before that end result that you must think about. There's some pieces about this that I think the mistakes, the question asking, the not planning, and I'll do this next time versus what I did the first time. So there's so much there, and thank you for letting us in on that piece of it. What do you do for self-care, friend? Sounds like you don't have too much time to sleep, eat, or do anything else. What do you do for self-care?
That was the problem. I wasn't sleeping. I was very sleep deprived. Part of it happened and started when I was a young mother. I always got envious when I heard, well, my baby's sleeping through the night already. I'm like, really? I had kids who just, you know, night terrors and whatnot. I felt like I hadn't slept in a while. There were times I'd go to the dentist and I'd nearly fall asleep in the chair because, oh my gosh, it was the first time no one's asking me to do anything. One of the things I did starting last year is I said, okay, what is the one thing I can do to improve my health immediately? Sleep. So I got this little board, a little whiteboard, and I put it, till this day, I do this every month, and I write, my sleep goal is 7 to 8 hours minimum every night, and I chart it. And I started out at like 30%, around 20-30%. Then I was working up, little up. Last year I hit like 70-80. I was like, ooh, you know. I finally hit around 90%, and that's pretty darn good for me. It's a major improvement. So I'm holding around 80-90% of the time I get my 7 to 8 hours because I'm committed, and I see that as a reminder that you need to sleep, take care of yourself. And also, as I said, you need to... Even if you love what you do, and I hope everyone, you know, finds something they can pour their heart into and receive back from, but you can't do it all the time. And where are you going to draw your inspiration from? If not from with, you have to go out of that sometimes to get more inspiration and ideas, and then you bring it in. Like, what informs your lessons? Life. Well, go live life and then bring some of that life back into your lessons, your content. So I started asking myself, well, who do you want to be? For example, this had to do with my students again. I had students recommending books to me. The universe was working in mysterious ways. They were recommending the books that I needed to read. I had one guy in the Czech Republic tell me about Atomic Habits. Like, oh, so I learned about identity-based goals. I had another person from Italy teach me about Louise Hay. I'm like, oh, who's she? So I started reading books, Wayne Dyer. Oh my gosh. Wow. How inspirational. I started reading these books, taking courses and understanding I really need to love myself more. And if I love myself more, I need to take care of myself more better. Right. And I need to remember who I am in all these different ways. I'm not just a teacher. I'm a Russian speaker. I speak Russian, maybe not perfectly and fluently, but I speak it fairly well. Okay, but Jennifer, how often have you been speaking it? Not often. So I started getting lessons. I started going back, and to this day, for more than about 2 years now or more, I have one or two Russian lessons a week to make sure I'm speaking and writing, having someone correct me, because I want to say that's who I am, identity-based goals. I am a Russian speaker. So if I'm a Russian speaker, I need to use my Russian. And then I'm not afraid to take risks. What else have I done? Starting in January of this year, I said, I'm going to learn Spanish. So I started learning Spanish in January. And I said, I'm not only going to learn Spanish, I'm going to do it in a different way. So I started using virtual reality because I thought, hey, you know what? I'm in midlife. It doesn't mean I'm too old to learn new technology. Just because I'm a middle-aged mom doesn't mean I can't use the cool gamer stuff. So got my headset and started learning Spanish through virtual reality. And I'm very excited to say that I just moved up a level this week from the foundations course to the beginner course. And then I started taking Tai Chi as well because I did have health issues and I decided to experiment with different things. And Tai Chi, within that first class, it was like this hour of beautiful peace because this echo that had been torturing me. It's really hard living with an echo, let me tell you, in your head. It disappeared while I was doing Tai Chi. And I think it had to do with the focus, the breathing, the slow movement. And I said, okay, I'm going to continue doing this because something is in this practice that is helping me.
Before we let you go, the floor is yours. What do you want our listeners to remember about you? Leave us with some inspirational words, if you will.
Really, I'm a teacher, so I'll tell you that life is one big classroom, everyone. And it's okay to make mistakes. That's part of the process. And just remember, whatever outcome you desire, it has to be the outcome that you desire. Define success and happiness on your own terms. Numbers are part of it, can't be all of it. For me, it's connections, contributions, and experiences.
Listen up to the great words that were just spoken, because numbers are just part of it. Friends, let's venture beyond your limits to seize opportunities, to elevate our games and yourself to higher intelligence, propelled towards euphoric fulfillment. And that is the essence of being in the zone. There's no magic tricks here, because on this platform, we won't be overlooked or labeled, because way too often they did that, but no longer. Because on this platform, we will continue to rise and fight above. We are strong as individuals, but unstoppable when we unite. Tune in, friends, to another He's Just a Social Worker show, coming real soon to another town near you. We're out.
Please note that the views expressed here are my own and not a representation of my employers and clients. Thank you for listening. We're always here for you. Just message us and we'll get back to you within 24 hours. Thank you. More than just at He's Just a Social Worker. In memory of my mother, Matilde De La Rosa, this is dedicated to you, Mom. Miss you so much. En memoria de mi madre, Matilde De La Rosa, esto va dedicado a ti, Mamá. Te extraño mucho.